Welcome to Life Quest, a program that directs you to subjects and books that will make a difference in your life. A program that will make you think and strengthen your journey of faith in the 21st century. My name is Dwight Lainhoff. Today on Life Quest, I'm talking to Mark Smedby. He is a singer, a songwriter, an actor, an author, and today I'm going to be talking with him about his latest book, which is called The Messenger, A Journey into Hope. Mark, welcome to Life Quest.
Thank you so much for having me, Dwight. It's really an honor and a privilege. I appreciate it very much.
You've written this book, and I want to talk to you about it. It's interesting. I don't always read them cover to cover, but I'm in the middle of it now. I'm reading it.
Oh,
but
terrific.
But tell our listening audience about yourself. Did you grow up in a family of faith, for instance?
I'm so thankful that I can say yes to that question. And, you know, I can see that God was moving in my heart from a very young age and that my parents provided a really great environment for that to be nurtured and with consistent church going and Bible reading in the house. So I'm so thankful for that. But I'm also thankful that for some reason God has held on to me my entire life. He's held me and he's allowed me to go, be on this journey with him, which is an ever-changing, ever-deepening awakening into understanding what his love is truly all about. So I'm grateful for the foundation that has held me, but I'm grateful for God's leading that has brought me to new places that I've never been before. Does that make sense?
It makes a lot of sense. Now, what kind of career have you had?
how have I made money over the course of the years?
Yeah,
interesting question. You know, I'm so thankful that I get to live a creative life. I get to do a lot of different things. I do a lot of music. This is my fifth CD that I just put out as a companion to this book. I'm a writer by trade. I also do some acting and some voiceover work and, like record audiobooks and commercials and things like that. So, you know, I've been able to be in some movies and some TV stuff and, you know, really anything. If somebody calls up and say, hey, you know, are you interested? I usually say yes.
Very good. That's great. And you're living in Nashville, Tennessee, is that correct?
That is correct. Absolutely.
We're talking about your book today, The Messenger, A Journey into Hope. Why did you write this book at this time?
Well, to be completely honest with you, which I try to be at all occasions, I actually wrote this manuscript 15 years ago. And and I've held on to it. And through the years, I've tried to, you know, every once in a while, I'll just ask somebody I know, hey, do you know any agents or anybody that might be interested in helping, sort of a kid like me with this, mediocre manuscript. And, you know, it didn't really have any luck, but I still kept believing in the project. And I say that because I know that there's somebody listening right now that has created something that is sitting in the corner of their office, and it's been there for years, and they still believe in it. And I want this to be an encouragement to them just to not give up. Don't give up on the things that God has put in your heart and in your mind and has brought to life. Even if no one has seen it, that doesn't mean it's the end. That's the life of hope as a creative person for me. Mm-hmm. So about a year and a half ago, I connected with an old friend who had just recently started being a literary agent, and we ended up selling it. So why did I write it 15 years ago? Maybe it's the better question, but really thematically, I wrote this because I'm on a quest to understand what hope truly is, Dwight. We as Christians, we kind of have the corner on the word. We've got hope in everything that we do, but it's also kind of taken over mainstream culture as well, advertising and lots of different things. So I'm on a quest to really get to the bottom of what hope really is. And so as I've been on this quest personally, it means really diving into what the gospel is all about, like just kind of sorting through everything else and just saying what is the true, like what is the essence of the gospel? And that's what I wanted to communicate through this book. But I couldn't just like write it out because there's like better theologians and smarter people that have done that kind of book. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to create a really compelling story that would draw people into this as an allegory and allow them to really enter into this, the truth of God's love for them in a way that they are capable of entering in and willing to enter into a story, whereas they might not into some sort of teaching book or something.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
It does. You know, Mark, I was just thinking as you were talking about hope, this is really contrary to what I hear on talk radio and what I'm hearing during the political cycle going on right now. There are too many people saying things are bad and they're going to get worse. And, of course, they always point to themselves as being the hope out. But Christians should be hopeful, shouldn't they, even when things all around them aren't always seen with a bright future?
Yeah, that's such a great, great question. I appreciate you asking that, because I'm thinking about that constantly, because you can't go anywhere without hearing, you know, doom and gloom. And a lot of it is from Christians, unfortunately.
Right.
And I want to be a voice of hope that says, you know what, sometimes for things to grow, they have to die. You know, you look at the seasons, right, Dwight, and you see trees, flowers, they have to die in order for them to grow again in the spring and to have new life come. And I believe that the essence of God is a resurrecting God, a life-resurrecting God, right? I mean, we've seen that. That's right. Kind of what we're basing our faith on. Mm-hmm. And so I believe that he's shown us that he's a God who resurrects, a God who brings to life, even when it appears that things are destructing or dying or have died. So I find great hope in even seeing how some things might be broken or might be getting more broken, because that sets us up for even greater new life and new possibilities. And that's what I'm banking on, because I believe as a person that God is doing that in my heart. And I believe that that's kind of a big part of our Christian faith, is really believing that God is making me new, but then we also say God is making all things new.
Yes.
So to hang on to that and live that out on a practical daily basis requires being able to go, man, you're saying the sky's falling, but I'm saying, hey, maybe we're getting a more beautiful sky in the process. I'm really intrigued by that concept of how to live out hope in the midst of all these voices trumpeting
Yes.
gloom.
My parents were young people in the 1930s during the Great Depression. Christian people, and looking back, being interested in history, I can see all the scary stuff that was going on, and in the world scene as well as in the financial in America, that sort of thing. And yet, that was a generation that became stronger and was able to deal with World War II and things that followed.
Right. Yes. And I love that, you know, some of the most beautiful stories of hope come out of people that have been through horrible things, right? You know, and so sometimes we feel like we have to run from the horrible things. But it's so many times in these midst of these horrible things is when God is writing a beautiful story of hope and redemption so that he can be more glorified. That's what I'm banking on, at least.
In your book, The Messenger, A Journey into Hope, and folks, if you've just tuned in, I'm talking with Mark Smedby, and he is the author of this parable, fable, you know, allegory, whatever you want to call it. And I guess I got to ask that question first. Why did you choose to go that way? There's a lot of varieties of fiction, in Christian fiction, but you did it in this allegorical way.
That's a great question. And to be really honest, I have to say, you know what, I feel like I'm a teacher at heart. Like, I want to help guide people into waking up to the truth of the gospel. And I'm not a preacher or a pastor. I'm just more of a teacher. And so part of teaching is learning how to present things in a way that people can swallow them and digest them.
Okay.
And same with performing, you know, to communicate a message, whether it's in a concert or a song, you have to find ways to connect with your audience. And I find that storytelling is one of the very best ways to connect with people's hearts so that then they are able to, you know, hear the teaching, hear the principles that come out. And they just happen to call that an allegory or a fable.
But yet that people have asked me, I pastored churches for 26 years, and people would ask me, well, why do you tell so many stories? And I said, because that's exactly what Jesus did in the New Testament.
Yes. Great answer. I should have used that one. I will next time, next interview. I will use that. Perfect. He knew.
So here you have this story. You said it. Again, I could ask you all kinds of detailed questions here. Chapter 1, Bergland, a small village north of Oslo. Why Oslo? 1933. I mean, come on. You know, you put together some details here.
Thank you. You know, part of that desire couple of things. To connect with my Norwegian heritage, I wanted to set it there. But I also felt like there was something about Norway and Scandinavia that has this kind of mythic, kind of fantastical feel to it. Like Frozen, you know?
Yes.
The Disney movie probably took place somewhere in Norway or, you know, something like that. So I wanted to put it in a place where it's very familiar. We can see that the people look like us. They feel the same things we feel. Mm-hmm. The setting might be a little different, but we can still relate to it. So that was my question. Kind of make it fantastical.
All right, so here we go. It's a story about a family, and in this area at this time, tell our listeners what happens.
Oh, give away the whole book?
Well, no. You know, you give part of the way, and then they want to read the rest of the story.
Absolutely. Okay. Well, you know what? This little village of Berglund is a place where there's ruts worn in the road where people walk to and from their house to work or to school every day, and they rarely even look up from the ruts to notice what other people are doing, even though they know everybody's business. It's a place where people, they survive in the day-to-day grind. And our hero, Thomas, who is, a lot like me in a lot of ways, says there's got to be something more. There's got to be something more than just the day-to-day grind. And at the end of the village stands this gigantic mountain that basically is a monument to risk-taking. That people don't even look at it because there's rumors that people have climbed it before and have never come back. So it's really, really just kind of invokes fear into people. And so through some events, he gets the message that he believes he's supposed to climb this mountain. And part of it has to do with the fact that his daughter is very sick with polio, and he's really desperately wanting to find a cure and find a way to help her. And he believes that the answer may be on the mountain. And so to go back to the allegory, I believe that this mountain in the village is the mountain that is standing in front of each of us, or many of us, whether it's a phone call we need to make today or a relationship that we need to restore that we can't remember why we're fighting with that person for so many years. Or maybe it's somebody that just is facing the mountain of giving up alcohol. Or maybe the mountain is somebody that is deciding what kind of relationship they want to have with God, and they feel like they just don't have the strength or the courage or the bravery to climb it. So this is about climbing that mountain and the hope and the help that you receive when you're brave enough to climb it. So I want it to be inspiring to people to climb the mountain and see what it holds for you. When Thomas climbs the mountain, he actually gets to a place where he meets an old woman that has been waiting on the side of the mountain for someone from the village to come up so that she can begin mentoring him on how to awaken the slumbering souls in the village down below. So before she can make him the messenger, she has to take him on a journey of his own into really truly understanding and deciding what kind of man he wanted to be and what kind of relationship he wants to have with God. And so it's an awakening process for Thomas that sets him down a very dangerous path, because in this village, you're really not supposed to ask these kinds of questions. You're not supposed to, you know, you're supposed to toe the line. You're not supposed to do things that people don't think you should be doing. And so it's standing up to that fear of what other people might think about you and saying, I'm going to trust that God is in this and has great hope for me in store.
And in fact, in the story, the family is ridiculed for their interest in the mountain and this risk-taking.
Yes, unfortunately. People don't understand when somebody wants to do something that requires great faith or requires great courage.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard it my whole life, just to be honest with you, Dwight. Yes, I've said, I want to be a creative person. I want to do music and write. And especially living in Nashville, there's people are always kind of trying to evaluate whether your dreams are reasonable. And I always wanted to be someone that says, dream bigger than what other people deem reasonable.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to cheer people on. If there's anybody listening right now that is in that place where they've got a dream, but they might be surrounded by people or even just one person or maybe voices inside their own head that are telling them, don't dream so big. That's just what crazy people do. Well, I believe that living bravely is one of the best ways to live out our faith in God. So I'm going to say go for it.
And sometimes people want to define you as to whether they think you're dream is reasonable or, in fact, marketable, and it's somehow right. demeaning to your hopes and expectations.
Well, and absolutely, and not to mention the power of God, you know, in the midst of it all, because we all know great stories that have been written by people that have overcome, mm-hmm. you know, regardless of what other people say. Like, one of my favorite movies of all time is Rudy. Have you seen Rudy?
Yes.
Yeah, but the kid who wanted to play football for Notre Dame, but he was really small.
Yeah.
And one of my other heroes is Kirby Puckett, who was a baseball player for my favorite baseball team, the Minnesota Twins. And
uh-huh.
He was just a short, stocky guy from the south side of Chicago that nobody said he'd ever make it. And he became, you know, an all-star
right.
many years over, and two World Series rings, and a really fantastic spark plug of a guy.
And I would suppose that, as you said, among our listeners, are those who have hopes but are afraid to express them or have been discouraged in them. But I would like to believe that in the Christian community, that's where hope can be encouraged. It's not always that way, frankly, but that is what we should strive for.
Yeah, and I think about that a lot too, Dwight. Like, why do we not encourage people to go after their dreams? And I think some of it actually comes from a good place. Maybe not the right place, but it comes from a place of like we don't want you to get hurt. We don't want you to be disappointed. We don't want you to work on something that's not going to come to fruition. You know, it's like people are trying to save us from disappointment,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
And that's so nice. But I believe that God puts those things in our hearts for a purpose. And truly, I believe that those things that God puts in our heart that he wants to come to life are truly to be the compass to guide us on the path that he wants us to be on. And so when we go on that path, it's going to cause us to have to redefine what success is in our minds.
Right.
Because if success is getting a record deal or a number one song on the chart, or is success being able to do a concert, or is success mm-hmm. being able to write one song, it's a lot more nuanced and requires a little bit more kind of intentionality in walking with somebody as opposed to going, yeah, go for it, and then you don't really know what to do after that. It's easier to say, boy, I don't know. It's easier to discourage somebody. It's a lot harder to walk with somebody and help them bring their dreams to life and refine for them what success might look like.
And we forget from even the stories of the Old Testament people of God and their interaction with God that sometimes when things don't turn out well, the thing that makes God God is he can turn them out for good.
Awesome. Yes.
So let me ask you, your book is just out, but have you had any response from the reading public to it?
Well, I haven't heard from many, like, people that don't know me.
Uh-huh.
You know, I haven't heard from strangers, you know,
right.
that kind of a thing. And I know they're out there, so I'm anxious to hear from them because that's where you get the most honest feedback. And
yes.
a lot of times, if people don't like your book, they're not going to tell you. They're not going to waste the time unless they're just really miserable people. But but I'm grateful that the people that I have heard from are saying that they're inspired and that they're encouraged to dream. But like you said, more than anything, we just need to be continually reminded that God's love for us so great, and that's the power of Christian radio to be there 24/7 to remind us, and a lot of things on the internet and music and hopefully books, things like that just to remind us of the truth of the gospel, that God's love for us is so great. I can't get enough of that because I wake up and I forget it and I have to remind myself, you know what I mean? Like every day
yes.
is a new reminder of how God's love is so true and enough.
Mark Smedby is the author of The Messenger, A Journey into Hope. I'm reading the book. I'm enjoying it. It's very readable, and it carries you along. You want to know what happens next. Mark, where can people get a copy of this book?
Well, you are so nice. Thank you for saying that. I'm so happy to hear that you're reading the book. That means a lot to me. You know, one really super fun way that people can get more information is if they want to text the word BRAVE
mm-hmm.
to 54900, I will send them a download of my favorite song, the companion CD. The song is called Brave, and it really exemplifies the message that we're talking about here. And I'll also send them information about the book and the CD project as well. But, you know, you can also go online to my website, marksmeby.com, MarkSmeby, Y,
mm-hmm.
or, of course, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, ChristianBook.com, or any Christian bookstore, or really any bookstore in the country. You could go in, and if they don't have it, they can order it.
Mark, thanks for being with us today on LifeQuest.
Well, I like you, Dwight. I like that you're such a thinker. You're a thoughtful person, and that means the world to me that you've taken the time to think about this book. And I hope that more than anything, your listeners are encouraged that even if they never pick up this book, just know today that God loves you so much and his dreams for you are bigger than you can imagine. And even if it's just between you and him, I'm going to say go for it. I'm going to shout a big yes over your life, and so is God.
Thanks, Mark. I'll be back in just a moment.
Joining us today on LifeQuest, here is host Dwight Lanoff.
If you go into any Christian bookstore, even a Walmart, you find a wide variety of really good Christian books. If you find a book or an author that you really have learned to appreciate and has been a blessing to you, let us know here at LifeQuest. I'd certainly like to do an interview and get a copy of the book from the publisher that you think the rest of the LifeQuest listeners would be blessed with. So send me an email, lifequest@lifetalk.net. Thanks for listening to LifeQuest today. If you have questions or comments, you may send them to lifequest@lifetalk.net. My name is Dwight Lanoff. This program comes to you from studios in the Meadowglade Church, Battleground, Washington.